Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the New Age Bible when we come back. You know, in Job 38, verse 24, we read a scientific question. It says, by what way is it that the light is parted? Or paraphrased, it says, by what way or technique is the light apportioned or separated? Now, can you imagine asking a question like that 4,000 years ago? Now, it is, of course, today a simple one, and the student simply answers, well, by passing it through the prism of the spectroscope. But who could have known that 4,000 years ago, back in Job's day? Now, when we heat a metal red hot, or we heat any substance until it's incandescent, it gives forth rays of light, and these rays, after passing through the prism of the spectroscope, divide themselves on the graph according to the content of the matter that sent them forth. So, when a ray of light reaches us from some far-flung star out in space, we need only to pass that light ray through the spectroscope to see what the composition of that star is and the proportion of each of its ingredients. Now, this division of light rays is always constant. It doesn't vary in the least particular, so we can always rely upon the results. Now, spectroscopic analysis is an exact science, and this is the manner by which the light is apportioned. And this places you and I in a quandary, because either Job knew this or supernatural wisdom is being revealed here. And that's just one more of the many examples of science in the scripture. And it's one of the many lessons that we teach here in our Mosaic Law School at the Law School in Isabella, Missouri. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first. That's the place to start. Doesn't cost you anything. This may not be for you. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational. It's informative. It's entertaining. And best of all, it's free. And you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Just click on to the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. Again, that's georgegordon.org, and then go to the archives page. All right, we're reviewing some books here called the New Age Version. So I started by laying some foundation last week, and we took Len Horowitz's chapter out of his book, and we took a look at the secret societies, because there's one particular secret society that has taken on this challenge, the challenge to rewrite the Bible. They started back in 1880 with a number of committees, a number of rewriting committees in various seminaries and universities and so on. And by today, it is an accomplished fact. They have 14 new Bibles here in the United States that they have rewritten. They have taken out 64,000 words. They have taken out whole chapters and verses from the authorized King James Version. They have totally corrupted and perverted it. They have changed 20% of it. They were careful not to change all of it. They've just taken 20% out of the whole, corrupted and perverted it, so that it makes the whole corrupted. It's genius. I mean, you've got to give credit where credit's due. They have taken on a project which would be just virtually impossible. You could rewrite the Encyclopedia Britannica. Bill Gates has enough money to buy that corporation out and then just edit the encyclopedia and corrupt it in any way he wants. I mean, you know, if he wanted to do that. But the Bible isn't even copyrighted. You can't just corrupt it. You can't just buy it. It's out there for everybody. It's in thousands of languages worldwide. And there's a secret society that took on the project, and they succeeded. I mean, we're not talking about what these people are going to do if we don't act and write a letter to our congressman. These guys have already done it. Furthermore, it's a secret. You don't even know it's been done. And the lady that discovered the secret and has exposed it, her name is G.A. Riplinger. And I caught on to it by accident. I just happened to have a listener by the name of Richard who sent me these three books. And he sent them to me on June 20th, 10. He says, to George Gordon, 6/20/10. And then it came a few days later, and then it sat here on the floor for about a week. And then one day I opened it up, and I saw these books in here, and I said, oh, my God. And one of them is 690 pages, and the other one's 1,200 pages, and the third one here is 116 pages. That's 2,000 pages written by this lady. And what she wanted to do was to alert us that the King James Version of the Bible has been corrupted. So I read her three books, and I said, oh, my God, I didn't know that. So I think I'll make a report on it. And I suppose that that's why Richard sent me these three books, is because he wanted me to make a report. And boy, did you've succeeded, Richard. You've succeeded. I am amazed. I saw this lady. Now, we took a look at this lady's credentials, why her credentials are better than the people who rewrote the Bible. and she can't get her books in the Bible bookstores so that you can buy them. And why is that? Well, because the secret society, the Learned Elders of Zion, own most of the Bible bookstores and the theological seminaries that teach your pastors and preachers out of the 14 corrupted books that they have created since 1880. I mean, this is genius at work, and these people are masterful. But the author, Gail Ripplinger, didn't identify who did it. She has identified a number of people who are involved, who were instrumental in doing it. For instance, she identifies Vine, Zohaites, Vincent, Woest, or W-U-E-S-T, Trench, Brown, Driver, Briggs, Moulton, Thayer, Danker, Liddell, Metzger, Shrivener, Barry, Ginsburg, and Green. These are the big names in the Bible lexicons and Strong's Concordance and so on. These are the actual people that did the mistranslations, that did the work. But they're not the people that paid for it. They're not the people that thought it up. They're not the people that had the agenda to start with. The people that did that are called the Learned Elders of Zion. And the guy that exposed that is a guy by the name of Charles Wiseman. And he wrote a little book here, about 128 pages. And you can get these books, by the way, from bravenewbookstore.com. So I want you to write that down if you don't have it already. Bravenewbookstore.com. Their phone number is 512-480-2503. Once more, that's area code 512-480-2503. And they're in Austin, Texas. Bravenewbookstore.com, Austin, Texas. And if you're down in Austin, it's 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite B. About, I don't know, I think it's four blocks from the university campus on Guadalupe Street, Suite B, Austin, Texas, 78705. Now, last time when we broke off, so that you wouldn't think that I was anti-Jewish and anti-Semitic and trying to run you Jews down, because you know I always get letters, you know, when I do a program, there's always an influx of emails and letters. Whenever you expose somebody, because see, I'm a Scotsman, and when I expose the skullduggery that goes on in Scotland, people, they look at me and they say, how could you, a fellow Scotsman, be so down on the Scots? And I'm not down on Scotsmen. I'm just telling it like it is. You know, I'm just making the report. Here's what we did. We're the old pagan druids is who we came from. We're sun worshippers from day one. And then, you know, people sometimes say, well, how can you say that of your own kin? You know, I'm also descended from Judah through the Zerah line. That was my great-great-great-granddaddy, Judah. He was a scoundrel. You get to looking back in your genealogy and you find all these scoundrels. You know, one of my kins, remember this guy Braveheart? Mel Gibson played the part of Braveheart, you know, in the movie. Well, there was a king in Scotland, and his name was Robert the Bruce. And remember what a scoundrel he was? Well, that's my great-great-great-great-granddaddy. Just wanted to let you know. So, you know, if you're sitting over there and you're saying, why, this guy's running us down, you're going to be amazed at how wicked and how evil your ancestors were when you get to looking at them. I come from a lot of wicked, evil ancestors, and that's not my fault. I didn't create it that way, and I can't change it, and neither can you. So what we do is we take a look at this, like Thomas Jefferson having an affair with a black woman, and there's a whole line of black people coming out from Thomas Jefferson. And we look at that and we say, oh, my God, how could people expose that? Well, because that's what the truth is. It's just where reality's at. You know what I mean? We wish it hadn't happened, and I wish that there was some other way to explain history, but, you know, that's where reality's at, so let's just face up to it. Now, last time, I read you a little citation here, but Judaism is not only derived from Babylonian thought, but also from Canaanite religious practices. You see, Esau had married women of the Canaanite race whose religious practices were abhorred by God in Leviticus 20, verse 23. Jacob, however, learned the ways of the Lord and his commandments. But Edom rejected God's ways and worshipped other gods, 2 Chronicles 25, verse 14. Now the Jews, like their Edomite, Canaanite, Pharisaical, and Babylonian ancestors, also reject the commandments of God. And this rejection, this defiance of God, is what Judaism is based upon. As the Jew Bernard Lazare revealed, quote, it is the Jews who originated biblical exegesis, a critical analysis of the Bible, just as they were the first to criticize the forms and doctrines of Christianity. Truly, has Darmeister written, the Jew was the apostle of unbelief, and every revolt of mind originated with him. All right, now there's a footnote number 9. So we go down here to footnote number 9. Bernard Lazare, anti-Semitism. He wrote a book called Anti-Semitism, this Jewish guy. It's History and Causes, London, Britain's Publishing Company, 1967, pages 149 to 151. Now remember what I said yesterday? I said, now, we wouldn't know this unless one of these insiders, one of these members of the secret society, the Learned Elders of Zion, had written a book, had made a statement to a newspaper reporter, had written an article that was published in the newspaper someplace. We wouldn't know anything about this. All right, now with that much under our belt, let's take a look over here at the next one. There's a guy by the name of Maurice Samuel. He's a Jewish fellow, Maurice Samuel. In speaking to those of the white race, he explained it very well. He said, quote, "There are two life forces in the world that I know, Jewish and Gentile, ours and yours. I do not believe that this primal difference between Gentile and Jew is reconcilable. You and we may come to an understanding, but never to a reconciliation. There will be irritation between us as long as we are in intimate contact. For nature and constitution and vision divide us from all of you forever." So if you're a Christian and you think that you're gonna make overtures to the Jews and you're going to win them over to Christianity and so on, well, okay, good luck. And that is a citation, footnote number 11, Marie Samuel, You Gentiles, published by Harcourt, Brace & Company, New York, 1924, page 19 and page 23. Going on, and here's number 19, the most obvious evidence of the perpetual hatred that Jews have towards the white Christian people is found in their own Talmud. In this work, the Talmud of Hatred and Perversion, the Jewish rabbis and sages throughout the centuries have expressed the Jewish attribute of hate towards white Christians. Footnote 18. Some of the terms used in the Talmud and other Jewish writings for Christians are goy, goyim, meaning cattle, Gentile, min, minim, minuth, heathen, kuthim, akam, idolaters, nokri, and notzerim. Okay, now that's like the word nigger for you blacks. That's what they call us whites. When I was over in Hawaii, they call us howlies. Now, you know, if you're a white like I am, you're just kind of dumb and so, oh, you know, you howlies. And I could kind of tell by the voice inflection that howly was not a term of endearment. You know, when a guy is calling you you howly, see, right away you can tell by the look on his face and by the voice inflection that that's probably not a good term. Well, the Jews have terms for us also, and we wouldn't know what they are, but you've heard the word goy, goyim. That means cattle. So they refer to us as being cattle. And it gets better as we progress along now. The following are some excerpts from the Talmud which demonstrate Jewish hatred of Christians. Now remember yesterday I gave you a list, so today I'm going to give you another little list over here. And remember, this comes from the Talmud. I'm going to cite it for you. I didn't write this now, so you Jews out there, don't get mad at me. This is in your Talmud. I didn't write the Talmud. That was done a long time before I ever got here, long time before you ever got here. But Jesus never had any good words about the Pharisees and the scribes. He never had any good word about the Talmud. And Jesus was anti-Semitic. I don't know if you knew this or not, but if you ever think about it for a minute, you know, he had some terms that he used here. Jesus pointed out the characteristics of the Pharisees and the scribes, and he called them hypocrites. He called them a generation of vipers. He said that they were full of dead men's bones. He said that they were full of all uncleanness. He said they were blind guides of the blind. He called them a wicked and an adulterous generation. He said they were full of iniquity. He called them serpents, murderers, and of their father the devil. That's what he called you Pharisees and scribes, you Zionists. He did not say that now of the average Joe six-pack Jew. There's a clear distinction here. Remember, Jesus was a Jew. He wasn't an Edomite Jew. He was from the Pharaoh's line from Judah. He was what we call a real Jew. These guys are imposters, these Edomites. But they're identified in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 as being those who call themselves Jews and are not, but are deceivers. So in Revelation 2, verse 9, and in Revelation 3, verse 9, Jesus identified these Edomite Jews who would claim to be Jews, who would be keeping the Sabbath on Saturday, who would call themselves the chosen people, who would be following the traditions of their fathers, the Pharisees. And remember now, yesterday I read this to you. Go back to these Pharisees over here, you know. Judaism is not only derived from Babylonian thought, but also from Canaanite religious practices. Remember that? Canaanite religious practices. And the Jewish religion, as it is today, traces its descent without a break through all of the centuries from the Pharisees, the people that put Jesus to death, the Pharisees. Their leading ideas and methods found expression in a literature of enormous extent, of which a very great deal is still in existence. The Talmud is the largest and most important single member of that literature. Where did I get that statement? It came from the Universal Jewish Encyclopedia, Volume 8, 1942, page 474. Got that? So now as you're writing your letter calling me anti-Semitic, which I'm going to address as we progress along, anti-Semitic is an oxymoron. When you hear the term, that guy is anti-Semitic, that is the equivalent of saying, she is a virgin whore. It's an oxymoron. Doesn't make any sense. I'll show you that. But right now, the subject matter is, what do the Jews say about Christians being anti-Semitic and Jew haters? Wait a minute. Is it the Christian that hates the Jew, or is it the Jew that hates the Christian? Who are the haters here? Listen to this. It is allowed to cheat a Gentile and take usury of him. Baba Mizia, 61a. And it also is cited in another volume called Abhoda Zera, 54a, from the Talmud. Now, the Bible prohibits usury. So we Christians cannot charge usury of fellow Christians, and we cannot charge usury of you Jews. It's against the law. So when Christians go to a Jewish lender and borrow money, he becomes an accessory before and after the fact. And the way that the Jews have gotten Christians into trouble with their God is by enticing them to violate the law of God. And you Christians out there, every time you violate the law of God, there's no such thing as a broken law without a penalty. And so your God punishes you for your penalty, punishes you for your crime. He applies a penalty to you for the sin that you committed. But you were enticed to do that by the Jew. That's what Martin Luther was so opposed to. And I'm sitting here saying, wait, why blame the Jew for enticing you to break the law? You know, it takes two to tango. All you had to do is say no, and he'd have no power over you. Now, he's taking your houses. He is now foreclosing on you. All these big banks in New York, they're all Jewish banks, you know, and they're foreclosing, and they're taking your houses away from you. Well, hell, they never could have done that if you hadn't signed the contract with them. You know, wake up and smell the coffee here, Christians. Now, the goyim, that is the Christians, are regarded as unclean. Shabbath 145b. It is not allowed to rob a brother Jew, but to rob a Gentile is allowed. Baba Mezia, 61a. The goyim are not like men, but are as animals. Kerithith, K-E-R-I-T-H-U-T-H, 6b. The seed of a goy is worth the same as that of a beast. Tethuboth, 3b. A Jew must not enter the home of a Christian. Gittin, 62a. The goyim are not to be cured or helped when sick, even for money. Abadah, Zera, 27b. It is permitted to deceive a goy, Baba Kama, 113b. Jews must try to deceive Christians, Zohar, 1160a. Listen to that. Jews must try to deceive Christians. Hell, it's a part of their religion. And so by changing our Bible, taking out and adding to and changing definitions and meanings of words and so on to deceive us, it's a part and parcel with the game. So when this lady discovers that, G.A. Riplinger, and she publishes three books on the subject, and then she complains that she can't get heard. The Bible bookstores won't sell her books. Well, of course they won't sell your books, lady, because they're trying to deceive you. It's a secret society. It's their mission. It's like the CIA, you know. Their job is to deceive. Their job is to spy. Their job is to win this war with the Russians or the Chinese. You know, and all these secret organizations, like the Jews, have a thing called the Mossad, and they're over here in America stealing our secrets all the time. Well, of course. I was watching a story the other day. I think it was on PBS, on the front line or something, and they were complaining about how the Russians had penetrated our institutions over here, you know. And this reporter asked this guy, who was with the national something or other, you know, a spook organization. It wasn't CIA. It was some other one. And he said, well, do we do this to the Russians? And he said, well, of course we're over there doing it to the Russians. But, you know, we have to stop them from doing it to us. So everybody's involved in this game. And then when you ask the question, well, are we over in Russia? Are we over in Israel spying? Are we over in China spying? Well, of course we are. Are the Jews over here trying to undermine Christianity? Of course they are. Here's another little thought for you Christians out there. You see, the Jews can come over here and proselytize you to join Judaism, but you can't go to Israel and proselytize them to join Christianity. Christians are not allowed to proselytize in Israel. I mean, you can send your missionaries to Uganda. That's okay. But you cannot send your missionaries to Israel. Isn't that special? I just thought I'd share that with you. A Jew may lie and perjure himself to condemn a Christian. Baba, 113a. A Jew shall not do injury to other Jews, but the law does not prohibit injury to a goy. Mishnah, Sanhedrin, 57. Those who do good to a Christian will not rise from the dead. Zohar, 125b. All the festivals of the followers of Jesus are forbidden, and we must conduct ourselves towards them as we would towards idolaters. Abodah Zara 2a. Do not save a goy in danger of death. Hilkoth Akam 20-1. When a Jew and a goy come to court, you must absolve the Jew and take his side as far as possible according to Jewish law. If, however, the Jew can be absolved according to Gentile law, absolve him. Babha, 113a. A Jew may keep anything he finds belonging to the Akam, Christian. To return it is a sin. That comes from Choshim, Choshem, 266-1. How do you like that? The Talmud clearly represents an underlying Jewish object of hatred towards Christians, and it teaches Jews to be against the Goyim in every aspect of life while working to destroy the Christians' religion and undermining their culture and society. Undermining their culture and society. Hey, listen to this. This is the ninth protocol. In order not to destroy prematurely the Gentile institutions, we have laid our efficient hands upon them and rasped the springs of their mechanism. They were formerly in strict and just order, but we have replaced them with a liberal, disorganized, and arbitrary administration. We have tampered with jurisprudence, the franchise, the press, freedom of the person, and most important of all, education and culture, the cornerstone of free existence. We have misled, stupefied, and demoralized the youth of the Gentiles by means of education in principles and theories patently false to us, but which we have inspired. Above existing laws, without actual change, but by distorting them through contradictory interpretations, we have created something stupendous in the way of results. So when Gail Ripplinger says that they have contradictory interpretations of these new versions of the Bible, it was part and parcel with the plan, boys and girls. And they have succeeded, past tense, and it has worked like a shot. They planned it back in the 1880s, carried it out, and now it is an accomplished fact. This hatred of Christians is taught, or as taught by the ancient rabbis, has continued to succeeding generations and is prevalent in the words and feelings of Jews to this day. Elie Wiesel, Wiesel, the Nobel Prize-winning Jewish author and world-famous Holocaust survivor, promotes hatred of white people by Jews. In one of his books, he stated, "Every Jew somewhere in his being should set apart a zone of hate, healthy, virile hate, for what the German personifies and what persists in the German. To do otherwise would be a betrayal of the dead." Footnote 19, Elie Wiesel, Legends of Our Time, Holt, 1968, page 142. What did Jesus say about hate? He said, "Love your enemies and do good to them that hate you and do evil to you." Now, there's just diametrically the opposite. You know, the Talmud is the circulating heart's blood of the Jewish religion, and the Bible is the circulating heart's blood of Christianity. And they're at diametric opposites. And what is the Talmud in Judaism today? Well, it's a continuation of the Pharisees, right to this moment in time. It is indeed interesting that the same enduring hate that Edom had for Jacob, the Jews have today towards Christians. It is also ironic that Jews who have all this hate in them for Christians have gone to great lengths to convince the world that they are completely innocent of such an attribute, and it is the Christian who hates the Jew. Now take a look at Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48, where Jesus told us to love our enemies in the Beatitudes. And you don't see the white Christians trying to pervert the Talmud now, do you? I haven't heard anybody write a book and say, "Hey, we've got this this white Christian identity or Christian plot or conspiracy to pervert the Talmud." No, sir. It's the Jews who have a conspiracy to pervert and to change the Bible. Why is that? Now, the prophecies of Christ's birth were well known to the people at that time. He was to be the king over all the earth. And it was reported in Zechariah 14:9, Daniel 7:13, the Messiah, Daniel 9:25, the Redeemer of Israel, Isaiah 59, verse 20, and 62:11, and would be of the house of David, Jeremiah 23. The script also reveals that Christ had enemies from the moment of his birth. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews, the Judeans? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him." Well, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem was troubled with him, reported in Matthew 2, verses 1 through 3. So why was this King Herod troubled about the birth and the arrival of the Messiah, Jesus Christ? First, we find that Herod was not the same racial lineage as Christ. Antipater, an Idumean by birth, was made by Caesar, procreator of all Judea, and his son, commonly called Herod the Great, was at the time of Christ's birth king of Judea, including Idumea. Now, there's a footnote here, number 20, the Popular and Critical Bible Encyclopedia, Volume 2, page 852, published in 1908. Herod, like his father Antipater, was an Edomian, or Edomite by birth. He was an Edomite Jew. He was not of the same lineage as Jesus. Josephus, in his Antiquities of the Jews, also esteems Herod as an Idumean in Book 14, Chapter 15, Section 2, page 438. And Herod had talked in secret to the wise men, telling them to diligently search for the young child, and when they found him, to come back and tell him so that he may come and worship him also, in Matthew 2, verses 7 and 8. This was actually a ruse so that Herod could kill Christ. So when the wise men found Christ, they were warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod. You'll see that in Matthew 2:12. Thus, they didn't return to Herod with the information of Christ's location, which made Herod the Edomite furious. Then, when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged, and he sent and slew all the male children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. You remember that story from Sunday school, you know, when you were going to Sunday school? Herod the Edomite had such a hatred for Christ and what he represented that he had ordered a mass execution to make sure that Jesus would be killed. Now, had not the angel of the Lord instructed Joseph to flee to Egypt with Jesus, Herod more than likely would have succeeded in killing him. All right, let me put a mark here in the margin, and let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools and all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Now, once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org, click onto the archives page, and you can download it right there. georgegordon.org, go to the archives page. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or this local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing a couple of three books. Let me give you names and addresses here. The New Age Bible Versions, written by Gail Ripplinger. That's the subject matter of this week's program. The phone number here is 1-800-435-4535. 1-800-435-4535. The book is published by AV Publications Corporation. They're located at P.O. Box 280, Ararat, A-R-A-R-A-T, Virginia, USA, 24053. That's 24053. And the book, I think I saw a number in here, $14.95, I believe. Let me look again. At $14.95 plus $3 shipping and handling. So it's 15 and 3 is 18 bucks. It's an $18 bill. Remember that phone number, 1-800-435-4535. Now there's two other books. Which Bible is God's Word? And Hazardous Materials. The three of them go together. Richard sent the three in. I've reviewed, or I'm in the process of reviewing them. Now, what I'm going to do is identify the people that Gail Ripplinger did not identify. Who has the temerity to change the Bible, in spite of the fact that the Bible says very plainly, don't do that? So the people that are engaged in this blasphemy, this is an act of blasphemy, for which there's a penalty. And the penalty is whatever it was that you're adding to the Scripture, I am going to add to you the plagues that are written in the Scripture. Whatever you take out, I'm going to take your name out of the Book of Life. And if your name isn't written in the Book of Life, then you're going into the lake of fire. No, that's the bottom line. These people who have done this, I don't think it represents the average Joe Sixpack Jew. So if you're an average Joe Sixpack Jew, I'm not sitting here suggesting, you know, it's all over for you. any more than I would suggest that the average Joe Sixpack German is going to go to hell because of the actions of Adolf Hitler. But there are people who are in positions of authority, people in high places, who are carrying out this plot. And Gail Ripplinger has uncovered the plot. What she didn't uncover was who were the plotters, who are the guys behind it. Now, she's identified the people who are involved in this in the academic circles, you know, guys like Vine and Vincent and Woist and Trench and Brown and Driver, the guys that wrote the books, the deceiving lying books, she identified them, who financed it, who has the agenda to change the Bible worldwide. And that belongs to the Learned Elders of Zion, a secret society that published a guideline called the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. We'll get into that a little more tomorrow. All right, going on here then, when Herod saw that he was tricked, boy, was he ticked off. He went out and killed all of the children that were 2 years old or younger when he found out that the Magi, who had come to deliver these presents. Remember at Christmas time, the Magi come and present gifts to Jesus? Okay. Well, the Herod, you know, the king here, was an Edomite Jew, an Edomite, and he was a descendant of Esau. That's Jacob's brother. And he wanted to kill Jesus. He was really ticked off. And so he wanted to make sure that he got him, so he killed all of the babies. Now, that's hatred, isn't it? You know, Christians are given credit, you know, for being a bloody religion, and you got to hand it, you know, to the Christians. They are pretty bloody. I don't deny it. I don't deny it. I just want to point out that there's some other bloody guys around. That's why I've said over the years, you know, religious people scare the hell out of me. I like to stay away from religious people. They are dangerous. Now, other enemies of Christ included the Pharisees, who were promoting the following the religion of Babylon, to which developed into the Talmud, the basis of Judaism. Thus, the rabbis and a Jewish Talmud have picked up where Herod and the Pharisees left off in their onslaught of hatred against Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of Israel. In the Talmud, Jesus is referred to as a sorcerer, idolater, seducer, blasphemer, and a fool. And it says he committed bestiality, sexual perversion, and magic. It assigns 4 deaths for Jesus: stoning, burning, decapitation, and strangulation. Now, that's all in the Talmud. And you can probably get a copy of the Talmud. Why don't you call and ask BraveNewBookstore.com if they've got a copy of the Talmud? They probably do. Now, the Jews' assault against Christ and Christianity is historic. As admitted by the Jew Bernard Lazare, remember? Bernard Lazare. And we've got a footnote 23 here. Bernard Lazare, Anti-Semitism, Its History and Causes, translated by Britain's Publishing Company, London, 1967, on page 158. Here's what it says. The Jew is not content merely to destroy Christianity, but he preaches the gospel of Judaism. He not only assails the Catholic or the Protestant faith, but he incites to unbelief and then imposes on those whose faith he has undermined his own conception of the world, of morality, and of life. He is engaged in his historic mission, the annihilation of the religion of Christ. Yep, the annihilation of the religion of Christ. So if you think that you're going to convert these guys, good luck. Get after it. Let's see here if I've got a protocol that covers this thing of religion. Hang on a second here. Let's see what we got. The protocols. There is one here, and I think I had one here that deals with religion. Here it is. It is for this reason that we must undermine faith, eradicate from the minds of the Gentiles the very principles of God and soul, and replace these conceptions by mathematical calculations and material desires. When we become rulers, we shall regard as undesirable the existence of any religion except our own, proclaiming one God with whom our fate is tied as the chosen people, and by whom our fate has been made one with the fate of the world. For this reason, we must destroy all other religions. If thereby should emerge contemporary atheists, then as a transition step, this will not interfere with our aims. A world coalition of Gentiles could cope with us temporarily, but we are assured against this by roots of dissension, among them so deep that they cannot be torn out. We have created antagonism between the personal and the national interests of the Gentiles by arousing religious and race hatreds, which we have nourished in their hearts for more than 20 centuries. Now that comes from the 5th Protocol, the 14th Protocol, and the 4th Protocol. Well, now that's what they've presented as religion. We will permit no religion except our own. Now, the hereditary hatred of the Jew for Christ and Christianity is clearly expressed in the Talmud and other Jewish works. Despite this fact, the organized church world cannot or will not acknowledge that the decline of their Christian nation is proportional to the number and influence of the Jews that are allowed to exist in it. So what did Jesus call the Pharisees? Do you remember that? What did Jesus call them? He said that they were hypocrites, a generation of vipers, full of dead men's bones, full of all uncleanness, blind guides, a wicked and adulterous generation, full of iniquity, serpents, murderers, and of their father, the devil. Now, isn't that anti-Semitism? Anti-Semitic, isn't it? Now listen to this. Here's what anti-Semitism is. This term, anti-Semitism, has been used by the Jews to counter and to conceal God's natural order and plan in the world, an order which has assigned to the Jew the rule of the aggressor, hater, destroyer, seducer, invader, and corrupter. By simply calling one anti-Semitic, the Jews attempt to put all of the blame for conflict on the other party. In other words, it is those Arabs, it's those Palestinians, it's those Germans that are the haters and aggressors, when in fact it is the Jew who is the hater and the aggressor. Now, boys and girls, we're not talking about something that's being planned. We're talking about something that's a part and parcel of society today. Anybody who brings this subject up and mentions the word Jew in anything less than the most glorious and glowing terms is called anti-Semitic, isn't he? You're an anti-Semite. You're anti-Semitic. A Jew hater. A Holocaust lover, or something of the order, or something on that order. All right, now, writing in the American Hebrew, Jesse H. Holmes said this, footnote 24, as quoted in the International Jew, the Dearborn Publishing Company, 1920, volume 4, page 222, said, "It can hardly be an accident that antagonism directed against the Jews is to be found pretty much everywhere in the world where Jews and non-Jews are associated. And as the Jews are the common element of the situation, it would seem probable that the cause will be found in them, the Jews, rather than in the widely varying groups which feel this antagonism." Writing under the chapter title of Jew Hatred as a Natural Instinct, Samuel Roth said in footnote 25, Jews Must Live, 1934, page 64. Here's what this Jewish author said. He said, "Anti-Semitism, Jew hatred, is so instinctive that it may quite simply be called one of the primal instincts of mankind, one of the important instincts by which the race helps to preserve itself against total destruction. I cannot emphasize the matter too strongly. Anti-Semitism is not, as Jews have tried to make the world believe, an active prejudice. It is a deeply hidden instinct with which every man is born. He remains unconscious of it, as of all other instincts of self-preservation, until something happens to awaken it. Just as when something flies in the direction of your eyes, the eyelids close instantly and of their own accord, so swiftly and surely is the instinct of anti-Semitism awakened in men. There is not a single instinct when the Jews have not fully deserved the bitter fruit of the fury of their persecutors." Again, footnote 25, Samuel Roth, Jews Must Live, 1934, page 64. Thus it would seem, here's another citation, thus it would seem as if the grievance of the anti-Semite were well-founded. The Jewish spirit is essentially a revolutionary spirit, and consciously or otherwise, the Jew is a revolutionist. Footnote 26, Bernard Lazare, Anti-Semitism, Its History and Causes, page 149. Now, ever since the Jews invented the libel charge of anti-Semitism in the 1880s, it has been built up with Jewish money, organization, propaganda, and lies, for example, the Holocaust, so that now the word is like snake venom, which paralyzes the nervous system. Even the mention of the word Jew is shunned unless used in a most favorable and positive context, for example, being God's chosen people. This stigma exists even with conservative and right-wing individuals and organizations. They speak of world problems, conflicts, and wars as being caused by the communists or the Zionists or by those international bankers or the CFR or the Trilateral Commission. Even though there is clear evidence that Jews are behind all of these movements and organizations, the Jewish connection is avoided like the bubonic plague. We can say that one again. And the end result is that those who fear being labeled anti-Semitic will never be effective in exposing the root of the problems in the land. No such fear existed in Jesus Christ, who spoke boldly against the Talmudic Pharisees face-to-face in public gatherings, where he specifically pointed out their characteristics by stating that they were hypocrites, a generation of vipers, full of dead men's bones, and all uncleanness, blind guides, a wicked and adulterous generation, full of iniquity, serpents, murderers, and of their father the devil. Jesus was anti-Semitic. Or was he? What is anti-Semitic? Have you ever wondered about that? Well, try to look it up in the dictionary, and then you're going to find out that prior to 1890, the word anti-Semitic or anti-Semitism never occurred. It's a modern invention. A Semite is a member of any of the peoples whose languages is Semitic. including the Hebrews, Arabs, and Phoenicians. Now, it is true that the Jews are Semitic. They are Hebrews. A Hebrew is someone who is descended from Eber. So they are Semitic. Now, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Esau were all Hebrews. Just like all Californians are Americans, but not all Americans are Californians. And these people today who call themselves Semites leave out the Arabs. Now, they're complaining that the Arabs are anti-Semitic. Boys and girls, the Arabs are Semitic. They are Semites. They are the sons of Abraham. There's 12 tribes of them. To say that the Arabs are anti-Semitic is like saying that girl is a virgin whore. It's preposterous on its face. Now, Semitic, of or like the Semites, describing a group of languages of southwestern Asia and North Africa, including Hebrew, Aramaic, and Arabic. The Arabs, boys and girls, are Semites. Now, anti-Semitism, prejudice against the Jews, unfair or cruel treatment of Jews, anti-Semitic, was a word coined by the Jews in 1890 to brand Christians or anyone who raises the subject matter of, hey, who's doing this to us, as being evil, wicked, bad people. Well, I'm about out of time, so I'm going to put my mark here in the margin on page 64, and we'll take it up right there next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Remember, the New Age Bible, written by G.A. Ripplinger, You get that from BraveNewBookstore.com. Why don't you try that, BraveNewBookstore.com. Hey, let me give you a final reminder that you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School, the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives. And all of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.